Blessed Redeemer, my good friends, we're going to read a parallel passage from the Old Testament. But let's stop a moment and see if we can determine in advance what God is trying to say to us by the passage we just heard. And I would suggest that the lesson today is to find what God wants us to do when our backs are against the wall. When everything seems to be going wrong and the church is in danger and people are being martyred, how does God ask? What does he want us to do? 1 Samuel 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a treaty with us, and we will serve you. But Nahash the Ammonite said to them, on this condition I will make a treaty with you, that I gouge out all your right eyes, and thus put disgrace upon all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers through all the territory of Israel. Then if there is no one to save us, we will give ourselves up to you. When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul, they reported the matter in the ears of the people, and all the people wept aloud. Now Saul, and please keep in mind, Saul was newly appointed king. He started out in an excellent fashion. Saul, when he heard all of this weeping and agreeing to give in and to have the eyes gouged out, he was coming from the field behind the oxen. And Saul said, what ails the people? What ails the people that they're weeping? So they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came mightily upon Saul when he heard these words. And his anger was greatly kindled. He took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man. When he mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who had come, thus shall you say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have deliverance. And then the messengers came and told the men of Jabesh they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will give ourselves up to you, and you may do to us whatever seems good to you. And on the morrow, Saul took the people in 3 companies. They came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and cut down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And those who survived were scattered, so that no 2 of them were left. And then the people said to Samuel, who is it that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has wrought deliverance in Israel. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal, and there renew the kingdom. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed 2 offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel greatly rejoiced. Sort of a long text. We won't have much to say about it. You heard it. I cannot add to the drama and the passion and feeling of this. As we look again at the Old Testament and ask the question, what does it say about God? And I've always recommended that our homiletic classes keep that in mind. Don't ask what does it say about Daniel or Saul or Samuel, but ask first, what is it saying about God? What kind of a God do we have? And what is the message he's bringing? 2 things very quickly. God does not want his people to be overcome and to be defeated by evil. To say things are falling apart all over, what can we do? The church is in and tested at times with false doctrine, and what is my little voice? I guess you're going to have to gouge out my eyes, and I just have to give up. What does the church do when Stephen is martyred, and when people are being arrested and killed and suffering economically and physically all over the place? What did the church do? What did God want his church to do in that early century? He fought the basic evil. Well, indeed, do we sing, the Son of God went forth to war, a kingly crown to gain. That's the master that we serve, the one whom hell itself could not defeat. And how triumphantly Dr. Martin Luther reminded us of that in the battle hymn of the Reformation. What a great power he is when the going gets rough and it seems as if we might lose. The Lord blows the trumpet and summons us to battle. Whether that battle is in our own lives, our own hearts and minds, whether it is in our church, whether it is in our community or our world, the Lord is always unfolding our battle cries and saying, you can't quit. I will not allow you to quit. Furthermore, he then provides the means to conquer, as he did for these people. What do you mean you have to lie down and let them dig out your eyes? Who are they? How many do you have? And they started counting, and it shocked them. 300,000 men and 30,000 more from Judah. What a battle. And so they went back and they told the men, well, we'll give ourselves up tomorrow, but what a surprise from three directions. The power that the Lord had built into his people and the power of the trumpet blowing carried the day. So the Lord shocks you and me into action whenever we say, it's too tough, we can't make it anymore. The Lord says, don't just sit there. I have provided you the means as he did the early church. How can the church possibly win out against the mighty Roman army and the whole Jewish leaders? Everybody was against them. But they had what? They had the word. And it was the word that conquered and the word that was still conquered. So he promises us to live with. And he says, when the going is tough, don't lie down and quit. I, the Lord your God, am with you. My word is mighty. My arm is still bared, and you will prevail. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ unto life eternal. Amen.